feast, and today we come to another feast, Leviticus 23. So if you're physically able, would you stand while I read these three verses in your hearing, and then we'll see if God will help us to unpack them for his glory and for the good of our own souls, the progress of the kingdom of God. Leviticus 23, beginning at verse 23. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall observe a day of solemn rest, a memorial proclaimed with a blast of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work, and you shall present a food offering to the Lord. Amen." Father, we love you today, and we confess that it's only because you loved us, and we're so thankful to be the objects of your love, and so thankful to be the recipients of your love. We're so thankful to experience true love so that we can now love you and love others. We're so thankful that at times like this we can enjoy your presence. And we remember the times when we were hiding from you thinking that like Adam and Eve we could cover ourselves up, but we're so thankful, Lord, that you came and you brought us out of that darkness into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ, and now we can see and we are free and we love you today. And so thank you for this wonderful, wonderful privilege. And draw near to us now. Make your presence and power known here among your people. We want to honor you with our thinking. We want to honor you with our words and with our actions. Be pleased in this worship service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. All right, we've been at this for, 5 weeks now, and 4 weeks, and this will be the fifth week. And so we have come to see and understand that these Old Testament feasts were held during the agricultural seasons, right, which are the spring and the fall. And that's designed by God. It wasn't something that Moses or someone else was wise enough to know. It was God who knew that this was the best time for his people to come together to celebrate his great blessing. And we have seen that in the wisdom of God, he's all of these feasts are pointing forward to Christ, right? That they're fulfilled in Christ. And so we're thankful that we don't get stuck in the minutiae of feeling that the feasts are an end to themselves. We saw that the first three annual feasts would be representative of Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection. Last week, we looked at the Feast of Weeks. And this feast was celebrated, the giving of the law and the harvest, you see. Celebrated God giving spiritual blessings and physical blessings, yeah. So you and I understand that today, that God is the giver, and every good gift we have in our life, every perfect gift, James says, comes from him. Something that he taught his people through these festivals, and so that generation after generation they would work through this reminder to them that God was the giver of both physical and spiritual blessings. And then finally, last week, as we thought about what this Feast of Weeks would mean to us in the New Testament, it represents the giving of the Holy Spirit and the harvest of souls at Pentecost. Yeah, at Pentecost, as we saw this, as generation after generation have kept this feast down to the New Testament, God finally, you see, brings forth the true meaning of the Feast of Pentecost, when they are all gathered there together, and the Holy Spirit descends with fire, you see, from heaven, and this wonderful experience that people have to see why God has given this feast all these years. And so this is a wonderful thing, to when you finally see some of these things fulfilled, yeah? And there's still some more. I'm thankful that there's more to come, that we haven't seen the end of things yet. So as we come to the Feast of Trumpets today, we'll follow the same pattern that we've followed thus far. We'll look at the origin of the Feast of Trumpets and then the significance of it. So let's just dive in and see what we can glean and understand and apply to our lives that will help us in our daily lives. Of course, as we have all said and agreed, these were this was God's idea, yeah? And so the origin of this is from the Lord, Yahweh, God, the Lord himself was speaking to his people just as he had spoken at other times. You see that in verse 23, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying. So it's important to keep that in mind in your discussions with the people, and just for your own heart to know that these weren't just some superfluous ideas that Jewish people came up with. But some people seem to approach these things that way. And of course, then, as we've seen at other times, this God's message was to be, was still to his people. And it's God's people who can understand and obey God. You see verse 24, speak to the people of Israel. There it is. Yeah. And for today, it would be speak to the believers, speak to the Christians, speak to those who know and follow and love Christ. Why? Because they can, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they what? They follow me. So we know the voice of God today, and we're so thankful that we can hear it and know it's him and then follow him. And then there's the divine instruction that he gives there. You might remember that these last three feasts we're going to look at were held in the fall, you know. The other ones we looked at were primarily held in the spring, you know, with the exception of Pentecost, which was just 50 days into the spring season. But these last three are in the fall, which would be our September-October time frame, okay, in the fall. And so as we look at this divine instruction, this was a one-day feast held on the first day of the seventh month. And the seventh month on the Hebrew calendar is the month Tishri. And so on Tishri 7, this festival was to be held. You see that? Go back to verse 24 and look at the second phrase there. In the seventh month, on the first day of the month. You see? In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall observe a day of solemn rest. And it is important to understand that when God calls his people to a celebration like this, he doesn't want to be competing with other things. you know? And so that's the reason on the Lord's Day, we don't want to be busybodies because we don't want things competing with the Lord. Yeah, he said, "I give you 6 days. You got 6 days to do those things to keep you busy." And so certainly, when it comes to worship, you can carve out some time to not be busy. You know, it's an amazing thing that because of our cell phones and other technology, that even at church, you know, people are just so tempted to be drawn into anything other than just resting in God's presence, you see? Because it's tempting when you can be working on something else. So a day of what? Solemn rest. The next thing you see there is that trumpets were blown to assemble the people of God, a memorial proclaimed by a blast of trumpets. Yeah? A holy convocation. And then lastly, several animal sacrifices and a meal offering were included on the holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work, and you shall present an offering, a food offering to the Lord. And of course, you find out in Numbers 29 that also included animal sacrifice and a meal offering. So those are the instructions. Those are the clear, fundamental, detailed instructions that God gives about this festival. There was no guesswork to be done about it. And that's the beauty of God, is when it comes to worshiping God, you don't have to guess what pleases Him. And that's what's so troubling about worship today. People have too much liberty. They take too much liberty to worship God any way they want to. And just assume that it's fine. You see? That's serious. It's serious. And I know, you know, we've taken a lot of heat here because our conscience won't let us do that. God is too serious about the way you worship Him. People are flocking toward what feels good nowadays. And, you know, churches are filled up with what feels good and what looks good. But ultimately, when it's all said and done, it's only God. God will be the judge, yeah? And much like fasting and other things, he determines whether something is acceptable or unacceptable. And so I hope your conscience is good and clear that when you worship in a way that you know pleases God. You don't have to guess about it. You don't have to work through whether this is something that's a tradition in our church or you see any of those kind of things. I know this is pleases God because it's based on the Word of God. You see? God tells you what pleases Him. Get it? So, and I didn't mean to spend too much time there, but I just wanted you to think about that, how detailed God was in these instructions. And even though God gives us some liberty in the New Testament, it's not liberty to just do what you want to do. Yeah? Not liberty to just do whatever you want to do. So, believers must assemble to worship God when He calls. That's the basic idea here, right? The trumpets blast, and when you hear the trumpet blast, people what? Come together. They come to God. And you see how this picture is developing already. When you hear the trumpet, God is calling. So It's time for us to assemble. So we think about the significance of the Feast of Trumpets. The Old Testament saints, I would say that in passing, trumpets were used in war. Yeah, trumpets were used in worship and in wedding. Trumpets were used to announce dignitaries and kings. And so I'm not saying this is the only way trumpets were used, okay? Now, Tishrei was the seventh month. You remember we talked about that? Tishrei was the seventh month on the religious calendar. And the first month on the civil calendar. And so we see that as God has shifted things, you remember what I said to you earlier when we were doing this? Israel now lives with two calendars, if you will, just as every Christian. Every Christian lives with two calendars in your life. There's a day, Brother Lay is celebrating today, the first calendar. He's celebrating February 5th. That's the first calendar in his life. But somewhere along the way, yeah, that was a born-again experience, you see. And so that's the second calendar. So he's living, all of us who are born again live with two calendars. The day we were born naturally from our mother, and the day we were born supernaturally, what? From our father. And so these are things that I just want you to keep in mind. We've talked about them before, but don't miss it as we move forward. Yeah? So Tishrei 1 was a celebration of God's faithfulness for the fall harvest and a new year's too. Because remember, these are agrarian people. A part of the reason in coming together is to thank God for how faithful he's been in the past year. The feast celebrated God's past faithfulness and looked forward to his faithfulness in the new year. You and I, we come together on the Lord's Day and we thank God for how good he's been to us, you see, this past week. And we just, our hope is laid up on him for what's to come. We don't worry about tomorrow because tomorrow is in what? It's in God's hands. Brother Lay, you remember what he said in his comments about with the offering. God has proven to us that he can what? He's trustworthy. You can trust him. We trusted him with our past, and now as a believer you trust him with your soul. Surely you can trust him with all other things in life. And so it was a celebration of God's past faithfulness and look forward to his faithfulness in the new year. The sound of the trumpet and for the Old Testament saints assembled God's people for worship and rest after a month of labor. Okay? After months of labor. And so, think about it. God calls them away from the fields, away from their ordinary lifestyles. This is kind of challenging for us to understand because we don't assemble this way in our culture. But this is the whole nation. You see, the trumpet sound was as it was blown in these various locations would indicate that it was time to come together, and these people have come together from all these locations. To worship God and to rest. You see, you've been working all this time in the fields. You've been working all this time getting the harvest together. Now God is calling you to worship and to rest from your labor. It was a time to enjoy the fruit of their labor. Okay? Now, this is important. You know, I want you to think through this thing. There comes a time that you, God wants you to enjoy the fruit of your labor. Yeah. So, that's the Old Testament saying. In the New Testament, the sound of the trumpet assembles God's people too. And you've already, those of you who are thinking ahead, you already know where we're going with this. This will happen when Jesus returns and the saints are resurrected, yeah? 1 Corinthians, turn with me. 1 Corinthians 15. And we're looking for verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50. I'll tell you this, brothers. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. But I tell you a mystery. You shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, what? At the last trumpet. The trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. Amen. And so, it's coming. The trumpet will sound again. We get the same message in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13. Listen at it. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as those who, as others, do who have no hope. Verse 14, for since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the sound of the what? Trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise. The dead in Christ will rise. God is calling, going to assemble us together again. This will also be a celebration of the Lord's faithfulness. You remember what Jesus said? Let not your heart be troubled, right? Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have said to you that I what? Go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, what? I will come to receive you again to myself. And so this is a fulfillment of the promise that Christ made. And you... I won't turn there, but you remember, we looked at it maybe last week. You remember there in Acts 1, when Jesus was ascending, and he was there, and the Bible says that the clouds came and took him up out of sight of the disciples, and the angel came and said, why do you stand, why do you come staring into heaven? The same Jesus that you have seen go, will come what? In the same way. He will return. And I know that we've got plenty of mockers. See, Peter said that there, even in his day there was mockers saying, well, you keep talking about the return of Christ and he hadn't come. 2,000 years later he hadn't come, but he's still coming. He's faithful. He's a faithful God. He's a faithful God. And the harvest is still what? Plentiful. The harvest is still plentiful. The trumpet signals Christ's power over death and his ability to raise the dead. Yeah. His power over death. Turn to Revelation 1, I believe it is. Let's see if I can find it here. Revelation 1. In verse 8, Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come. Verse 17 and 18. When I saw him, I fell at his feet. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forever, and I have the keys to death and Hades. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah, he has the power. The power. So the trumpet signals his power over death and the grave. And then, so those who... those dead and living in Christ will be given eternal bodies to be with and to worship him forever. That's the great assembly. The great assembly in the sky, you see. How wonderful this is that for you and I we can understand that the great assembly is still to come. It's still to come. And so, as we try to conclude this, brothers and sisters, we can see that the Feast of Trumpets was a call to assemble to thank God for his past faithfulness and to look forward to his faithfulness in the new year. Everyone who loved God and obeyed the call of the trumpet to assemble. If you love God, you're going to obey the call to assemble. In the future, Christ will physically return with a divine command for all saints to assemble. From Adam to the last living saint, and every believer will assemble to meet him in the air. Hallelujah. As he returns, this divine trumpet will announce the return of the King of Kings, the end of war, the beginning of eternal worship, and the wedding of the Lamb of God. This is the last trumpet, the Bible says. The last time Jesus will call. This is the end, and every saint will be taken. No one that has ever believed in Jesus will be left behind. It doesn't matter where they are. It doesn't matter if you can't find them. It doesn't matter whether they died in the sea or burned up in a fire or buried in some forest. You may not know where they are, but God does. Every believer in Christ will be caught up together to meet him in the air. Isn't this wonderful? When the trumpet sounds. When the trumpet sounds. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Believers are dead all over the world in these communist countries who persecute believers and who think they have done away with them and treated them in such awful ways. Their families couldn't have any kind of respectable burial and all kinds of awful things done to believers. Jesus knows where they are. He knows where they are. You don't have to have a proper funeral for Jesus to come get you. You know, I thank God that, you know, we can have a proper funeral. But really, after you've died, you have to kind of wonder, why spend so much money? I'm just saying. You can honor the dead without, you know what I mean? All of the... So it doesn't. All I'm saying is, it really doesn't matter whether you had the big elaborate funeral or not. Yeah. When Jesus calls, the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God sounds. Wherever you died or wherever you've been left, they might not have even buried your body. Left your body out for the birds to eat and the bones to rot. Jesus knows where it is. You understand what I'm saying? So you see, for the family of those who had those experiences, this is written for them to know. To know. That wasn't the end. The oppressor didn't win. The enemy didn't win. Isn't this good? They didn't win. So the next great event in human history is not the election of a new president. The next great event is not a great medical breakthrough, a peace between the nations. The next great event is not legislation that will benefit everyone. The next great event is not the greatest movie ever made. The next great event is not a major advancement in the economy. No, 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 no. The next great event in human history will be the return of Jesus Christ. Every eye will behold him. Every eye. Every valley lifted up. Every mountain made low. Uneven ground becomes level. And rough places are plain. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Lord over kings. Lord over nations. Lord over disease. Lord over Satan. Lord over sin. Lord over mercy. Misery. Lord over pain. Lord over even death. He's the Lord. And when he comes, everybody will know. Everybody will know it. No more hiding. No more hiding. The master of the universe. See, you can come up with every video game you want to. There's only one master of the universe. And when he shows up, everybody will know it. Isn't that good? Not just the living. Every person that has ever lived will know the Master has come. It's too late for those that didn't bow to him before. But they're going to know. Bible says even Satan knows Jesus and trembles. Yeah. It's a good thing to be on the Lord's side. Better make sure. The Bible says, make your calling and what? Election sure. It's not a game. It's going to be over soon. As the Hawkins says, soon what? And very soon. Where are you going? You see, that's a nice song, but the question is, where are you going? When this old life is over, where are you going? And again, remember, it doesn't matter how beautiful a funeral you had. The question is, where are you going? Doesn't matter how many people said great words about you. Where are you going? That's how serious this is. Because he's coming back. No doubt about it. I want to be what? Ready. Yeah? Ready. Ready, 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 ready. See, we are in a season where many of our loved ones and friends have died. All of us have lost loved ones at some time, you see, in the most recent or the distant past. But to see the truth of this feast is to give us what? Hope. Hope. We will see them again if they died in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Give us hope. We will worship and serve Christ together forever if they died in Christ. Christ is coming, and this will most assuredly happen without fail. He's coming. Therefore, you remember what Paul said after that little treatise of the coming of Christ in 1 Thessalonians 4? Therefore, encourage one another with these words. But then he goes over to 1 Corinthians 15 after talking about the return of Christ. And he says, therefore be, what? Steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the labor, the work of the Lord. For your labor in Christ, what? Is not in vain. So you see the two things. When we talk about the resurrection, Christ coming back and us being resurrected, it's to do two things for us. To encourage us so that we not lose hope, but to also call us to be faithful. Be faithful. How long? Until he comes. Therefore, be steadfast. Have hope and keep on working. Regardless of how bad it looks, God's got it all under control. You believe that? He's got it all under control. Provides faith, encouragement, and faithfulness. And if you're not a Christian, I simply want to say to you that if you think about what we've said today and you find great joy in thinking about life after death and life with Christ, if you can't have it unless you have come to Christ. You can't have it unless you've been born again. You're not born with this. You, as I said about Brother Lay and every other believer in here, you must be born again. And so, for those who are listening, or wherever you may be, who may listen to this later on, weeks and months or years later, you must be born again if you're going to be resurrected with the saints. If you're going to respond to this great call from Christ and to ever be with him, you must believe in him now. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful privilege of knowing you. We confess and admit that it's a great gift. It's a great mystery, in that we know that a great and powerful, you did a great and powerful work in our lives to bring us to yourself, the great miracle of salvation. And so we want to thank you that we look forward to your return, that